This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let's head out to the hotline right now and welcome in my favorite baseball player of all time. That is the Baseball Hall of Famer and Mike Piazza, kind enough to give us a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Mike, it's Zach Gelb in New York City. A real pleasure to have you on. Thanks for coming on, and how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. I'm very honored. Very honored with that introduction.
Well, it's true. And I'll be honest with you, Mike. I was actually called Piazza when I was in fourth grade. Growing up as a kid in elementary school, because I was Mike Piazza for three, four, five times for Halloween, that my PE teacher, Mr. Barone, even got me a Mike Piazza plaque because I'd always dress up for you as Halloween.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you were called Piazza. I was called Pizza. So by the time I finally made the major leagues, I convinced people it was actually Piazza, not Pizza. There's an extra A in there. But thank you. That's very kind, man. I appreciate it.
I even one year had the blonde frosted tips when I dressed up for Halloween. I even did the blonde hair.
Yeah, they hung around for a while. I saw an old picture. That's the best thing about social media. I think it was MLB posted a picture from the actual 2001 All-Star game. And that was before the tips were growing out, so it looked pretty funny. I tell people all the time when I had my hair blonde, it was kind of like just an off day in Chicago, and I was looking for something. Just to kind of, you know how superstitious we are. So I wanted to kickstart something, and then I get my blonde hair, and then the next day, my first at bat against Kerry Wood, I took him deep at Wrigley Field. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe this works. So I kept it around.
That's awesome. Mike Piazza here with us on the show. So, Mike, let me ask you this, though. How are you and your family holding up? I know it's a crazy time in our world with a lot of uncertainty right now.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a change. I mean, one of the good things is that we make our home here in the U.S. in Miami, so we've been getting some pretty amazing weather. And it's, like, tough. We have three kids, but we have them tutors, and they're doing online classes and trying to obviously maintain some sort of schedule, because when the whole thing erupted and just kids are work very well when they have a schedule. So to be home and go through all this turmoil and not see their friends in school and miss that social aspect has been a shock. But we're hanging in there. I mean, it's like anything. We're pulling together and spending more time together. And so, I mean, as difficult as it is, you have to try to find a silver lining and try to make the best of it.
How do you explain this to your kids? Because I've never seen anything like it. And for kids, it must be a confusing time as well.
That's a good point. It is difficult. I have a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old. They kind of get it. And my 6-year-old is funny. He's running around going, Corona. And it's like, you know, I don't think he really knows what it means because he's just hearing everyone talk. But as far as the other kids, they get it. I mean, again, it's something that has never happened at this scale before. I mean, this type of virus that spread is so contagious so quickly and obviously can harm people, older people. And so it's not so much the younger people that can recover from it. It's passing it on to people that have pre-existing conditions and respiratory problems. So that's the difficult part. I mean, again, we've been through this in history. That's the one good thing, again, is you have the times. I was reading about the flu pandemic in the late teens, and it was very interesting as well. So, again, hopefully we learn lessons from that, and we'll deal with this and try to get back to some sort of normalcy as quickly as possible.
Mike Piazza here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. In times like this, and when you're, you know, stranded in your house and isolated in your house, you're looking for a little levity as well. I've been turning to a lot of music. You know, you break out the workout equipment too, even maybe a nice glass of wine and some Italian bread. What have been some of the things that you've been doing to try to get your mind off of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything. They took the gym. When they took the gym away, man, I really started scrambling. And I mean, the good thing is I was out today paddleboarding a little bit. I mean, I'm blessed to be living on the water. And so, you know, I got out there and I was trying to get a workout. I'm trying to run a little bit. I mean, it's hard for me because I'm 50. And after catching a few years, you know, the joints don't feel great. But yeah, I mean, you got to get creative. I mean, it is something. And you have to do something to just, as we mentioned, it's just to try to keep yourself sane. And for me, I have to do some sort of physical activity and try not to eat too much. That's another thing. I mean, I'm enjoying the vino, definitely. I'm cracking some stuff. I'm like, yeah, what the heck? You know, it's no better time than the present. But trying to, I'm sure people are going to be packing on a few pounds. So I tell people all the time, don't just sit around and open the refrigerator. Try to do something physical. But it is difficult.
Yeah, I ordered an elliptical the other day, and I can't wait for that elliptical to get here.
There's funny, the industries that are doing well, obviously, I bet, you know, my brother actually is in really working out, and he got some dumbbells and a free motion machine, and he was telling me that the dealer there where he lives, we're from Philly, he was saying the guy can't, you know, keep anything stocked. I mean, people have just gone in, so it's very strange, and obviously with a workout culture, people are trying to find a way to get it done at home.
Well, I'm a New Yorker, but I did go to school in Philadelphia at Temple, as Mike Piazza is here with us. And yesterday was National Cheesesteak Day. When was the last time you had a cheesesteak, Mike?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't been able to visit my mom and dad in the Philly area. And as soon as I do, that's the first thing I do is go down to Passyunk Avenue and get a cheesesteak, steak and whiz. It's one, you know, as we say in the cheat meal for me. So I just load it up with the onions and the whiz and just kind of say, hey, let me get through a big one and try to work out an extra half hour or so in the next day.
Everyone knows your career, Mike, and what you were able to accomplish. And now you're the manager of the Italian national baseball team. I'm Italian as well. I know you are too. I know we talked about what's going on here in America, but you read what's going on in Italy. How about that for a second or two?
Yeah, it's tragic. It really is. And I was spending a lot of time over there, actually, you know, when I returned from Italy around the Super Bowl. Didn't know this whole situation was starting. And in the north, and people have to understand as well, I mean, Italy is an old country. There's not a lot of new hospitals that have been built. They do a lot of, you know, they have an older population, a lot of them smoked. So it really was sort of a cauldron, like a perfect storm for something like this. And it really hit Italy hard. And they made the big mistake is when school was being sort of suspended, that everyone started going to the cafes and spreading it around. And so the social distancing is very important. But again, I think that's the problem. And then it just got out of control, and now they're just trying to ride it out. So it's been very sad. A lot of families have been really heartbroken over a lot of the you know, their older grandparents and aunts and uncles that have been hit by it and affected. So it's sad, and you know, pray for Italy, and hopefully the weather will improve the situation, and they can try to start to get back to their way of life as well.
Yeah, it'd be nice if all of us could return to some normalcy sooner rather than later, and we don't know when this is going to end, so that's the scary part, as Mike Piazza is here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. So you're involved right now with the Italian national baseball team. It makes me wonder, would you ever want to be an MLB manager, Mike?
Well, it's a different situation. I mean, it's to be a manager in this day and age, it's a lot of bandwidth. I mean, I have, as I said, from Philly, we're in the car business in Philly, and I have several other businesses which I've been sort of tending to, and now with this going on, it's been tougher. But my situation in Italy makes it easy for me to get in and get out. I mean, it's been a process. I've coached for them. I played for Italy in the first Classic. The national team president asked me to come back and manage for this year and the Classic, and I agreed. Been through a few classics. I've already sort of been making some calls and emails trying to circle up some guys that want to play. We've had some great players play on the team the last year I was there, which was 13. And so to get around about way to your question that managing the big leagues, it's a whole different animal. It's a full-time job. I never say never. I mean, this is fun for me to keep my toe in the game and keep current and learn all the new things, but there's a lot you have to learn. I mean, the game has changed. I've been retired well over 10 years now, and it's definitely something that you have to stay current. So we'll see what happens, but I'm excited about this project.
Probably have to be when your kids are a little bit older, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. I just, you know, it's not good for my wife. My wife has an expression. She's like, too much Mikey P here because I'm always around. And now with this quarantine, it's difficult, or at least staying at home now, to get out and do anything. At least I could get out of her hair. But, you know, I love my kids, and I'm sure it's easy to brag about your kids, but I just love being around them. And you know, I'm an active dad. You know, I take them to school and help them with their homework and stuff. So, yeah, maybe when my six-year-old's a little older and if I can stay current, you know, I never say never. I always say, look, I mean, if the situation is there and it presents itself, it's all timing. Life is timing. So if it's the right place at the right time, I'll think about it. But in the meantime, I love doing what I'm doing with the alumni, with the Mets team. We have a lot of things we do in community relations. We go out into the community and do a lot of stuff with the fans and the sponsors. So I really enjoy that. I mean, I get to work with guys like Mookie and now David Wright. I just welcomed him into the fold recently. So, and believe it or not, that's a lot of work too. We enjoy it, and they keep us busy.
To your kids, your dad, you're not Mike Piazza, the baseball player. Do they have that understanding of what you were able to do in your pro career?
It's a weird energy because my young daughter, my 10-year-old's tutor, recently was, you know, brought in some cards and was telling my 10-year-old that what a big fan he was of me when I played. So she was like, what? And it was really interesting because, yeah, I mean, you could tell them the stories and go on YouTube and, you know, let them see me, you know, hit some home runs and stuff. But it is difficult to – they don't relate to it. And that's the only thing for me. I had my kids later, which for me was good. I mean, again, I got to spend more time at home, and a lot of guys that I played with missed a lot. You know, they missed the first days at school and they missed the first communions and stuff like that because they were playing. And so it was a different sacrifice for them. But yeah, I mean, not to see my kids have to see me play is definitely a little bit of a bummer for me. But, you know, we're lucky we have easy access now to media. And I could say, hey, your dad, I tell him, your dad was actually cool at one time. So don't give me a hard time.
A little bit more than cool. I'm sure they're going to understand that real soon as Mike Piazza is here with us. When we look at your baseball influences, Mike, we know the stories about your dad, Tommy Lasorda, also your high school coach in John Doc Kennedy. Just speak a little bit about the influences growing up, not only in your personal life, but also your baseball life that made you not only the player, but the man you are today.
Yeah, I mean, first big influence, as you mentioned, was my dad. I mean, he was a baseball nut. And I think, you know, I have four brothers, but I was blessed, I think, with the most physical talent. And he said, all right, this one, I'm going to try and make a ball player, and exhausted every avenue to try to get me the best instruction. And his relationship with Tommy was paramount. I mean, it was so good because in a sense that I was able to get good equipment when I was young. I was able to be the Dodgers bat boy, and I was always around a major league environment. I mean, he even got me a private lesson with Ted Williams when Ted Williams was in King of Prussia for a card show. With that said, it was still difficult because I didn't really have a true position. And when I signed with the Dodgers, I was coming off a junior college year, which I had an injury. So, you know, I was a very low pick. They didn't have a lot of money invested in me, and I had to find a way to get it done. And fortunately, I found catching. And, you know, it was difficult at first. I ran into the backstop a lot of times, and a lot of games were frustrating, but fortunately found a great hitting coach with the Dodgers in Reggie Smith, and he was able to really get in my corner and believed in me and knew the potential that I had. And so I was very blessed, as you mentioned, to have people in my life that believed in me, sometimes more than I believed in myself. So I'm a living dream, and I tell people all the time, you got to listen to your coaches and ask questions and find ways to get better and just never give up. You know, just let them rip the uniform off you. And I was glad I did it.
You're a true underdog story, and it's a story that's made for Hollywood, because I remember last time we were talking, when the Mets honored you and retired your number, you were telling a story about how you didn't even make the varsity team in 10th grade. And we all know that you ended up getting drafted 62nd round in the 1988 draft and now in the Hall of Fame and considered the greatest hitting catcher of all time. When you look back on it, How do you explain your success? Because things like this just don't happen overnight.
I think it's learning from adversity and learning from frustration and learning from failure. And you mentioned that, not making the varsity team at 10th grade. It was pretty funny. I mean, I remember the guy who actually was playing first base, and at time I was for a guy by the name of Joe Godfrey. And he went on, I think, to play for, like, Central Florida University. So the league I played in high school was a really good league. I mean, the Chessmont League is famous. I mean, you know, John Matlack came out of that league, and myself and a couple other really good ball players, a couple other major leaguers, guys that didn't have a lot of time. And so the athletics in that region were strong, and so I was blessed to have great competition. But I had setbacks. And look, I always tried to be a good team guy. I mean, I remember throwing batting practice when I had a cast on my left hand because I tore a ligament in my hand, and my coach was like, you know, can you help out the team? I was like, yeah, I got, you know, I have a good arm. I'm a catcher, so I throw pretty nice four-seamers for the guys that hit. And so I always try to stay positive. And I tell people all the time, man, your attitude, you know, guys, I saw so many guys that were so much talented, more talented than me. I mean, they could run, could throw, can hit. And they just either didn't have a great attitude, they had personal issues, they couldn't quite focus and get it done, or they didn't have the confidence. And, you know, it's a shame because some of these guys were blessed with talent. And look at me, look at my situation. I just kept going like a drill bit. I mean, I just kept going and going. And fortunately, I broke through and I was in the right place at the right time and I was ready.
When was the moment, Mike Piazza, that you said to yourself through that journey, hey, look, I finally made it. I could do this for a long time.
I believe I went to I came off a great year in 91, I believe, in A-ball at Bakersfield. And I went to Mexico and I played the Pacifica, Liga Pacifica, which was in Mexicali. And we played Hermosillo. We played Wasat. We played it. And I remember facing a lot of guys that played in the big leagues. And as I was hitting this pitching, I said to myself, I could do this. I mean, I felt like at that time I could hit in the big leagues right then. And then obviously I still needed to refine my catching. But ultimately it really came down to I was given that opportunity, and then I went to spring training, and I think I had 3 home runs in spring training and actually a pinch hit grand slam off Paul Gibson in the Mets when I was with the Dodgers. And after that, the Dodgers were like, we got to fast track this guy. He can really play. So you know, getting up to the competition, be ready for the competition. And the Dodgers, you know, Tommy was really amazing at putting minor leaguers in big league games, guys that were just out of A ball, just out of short season, and throwing them in there and see if they could do it. So he did that with me. And
Mike, you still there? I think we lost Mike Piazza. Well, what a conversation that was. Let's see if we get him back up there. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. I think we got Mike Piazza back on the line. Mike, you can hear us all right?
Yeah, sorry, my stories must have been a little boring there. You didn't have to give me the kill switch. I probably could. If I'm being long-winded, just tell me to speed it up. It's no problem.
No worries. So we got about like 8 minutes left, and I'd be remiss, obviously, if I didn't get into some of these memories with you, and we appreciate you giving us another segment. So the next one I want to get to is obviously 9/11, because I was in the second grade when 9/11 happened, but I remember it just like as it was yesterday. And sports was such a big role and an instrumental role in the healing process. And I remember Joe Andruzzi running out of the tunnel before a Patriot Jet game with his brothers being New York City firefighters. But obviously the memory that comes to mind first is your home run on September 21st. I know it's a little bit awkward to talk about because of what did happen, but when did you realize the significance of that home run? And also, Mike, how were you guys able to play? Because I know we look at athletes as they're invincible, but you guys are human too, and you're living in New York and going through all the emotions that we were going through.
That's so true. It just, you know, I say many times I'm a man of faith, and I remember being out on that line and just saying, you know, praying, saying, Lord, please just help me get through this night because I don't think I can hold it together. And, yeah, it's there was some just the whole spectrum of emotions from anger to frustration to sadness to despair. We didn't know when was the right time to come back. And obviously looking back, the time we did come back was the right time. So that's the one thing that makes us feel good about that week. Ultimately, though, as you said, just the emotional turmoil and the emotional strain of going through that week in New York was just devastating, and still is in many ways. And when you think back about it, it's kind of like I actually try to suppress the memory of that week just because of the stories and the emotional hardship and frustration, and as I said, the sadness that did that. Lot of the loss of so many people, especially in New York, obviously. So, but I think, as you mentioned, it was a blessing that sports was a way for us to kind of get back, to get together. Number one, be in a group, to feel good about just being together. And as you, because of our sort of being in the right place at the right time and coming through, just giving people something to cheer about and making people feel good for a second after a really difficult tragedy like that is something that is an honor for me. And it's an honor for everyone. I mean, there, as I've said, our game, but there was a lot of games that people really were able to enjoy and try to start the healing.
Mike Piazza here with us. Another memory that I want to get to that I remember it also just like it was yesterday was the home run against the Braves, you know, in that 10-run inning, 8-1 down in the bottom of the eighth. The game is tied, and you hit that home run down the left field line. That is something I'm sure still to this day many Mets fans bring up to you all the time, right?
Yeah, that was a huge moment. I mean, because it was fireworks night, and
yeah,
it was interesting because we were getting blown out, and all the fans were like, can we get this freaking game over so we can see the fireworks? And you know, we weren't really feeling like we had a chance. And then all of a sudden we started, you know, scratching back. And it was just one of those moments. It was one of the rare moments in my career that actually, I mean, Fonzie was unbelievable. He scratched out a 2-strike hit and we ended up tying the game. And when he tied the game, it was almost like this weight got lifted off my shoulder. And when I got in the box, I was so relaxed. But I actually thought to myself, man, I said, if I can get a hit here, this place is going to go like crazy. And Terry Mulholland sort of has a hard, hard cutter inside. And I said, all right, he's going to come in. Let me just keep my hands inside. And I barreled it up, and it was a little bit of a Carlton Fisk thing. And it just was, one of the most exciting home runs that people still talk about it. It's a great moment to watch. And wow. Yeah. One of those rare moments where I actually kind of let go a little bit and enjoyed the moment.
Now, the celebration was epic, and it's one of those great gifts that we still use to this day when we talk about Mets baseball on Twitter, as Mike Piazza's here with us for a few more minutes. So I started this conversation telling you you're my favorite baseball player of all time. My least favorite baseball player of all time is Roger Clemens. What are the thoughts that come back to mind when people bring up Roger Clemens to you with all the history that did transpire, where he was 100% wrong every time?
Well, when I play in golf tournaments now, it's funny. Some people, I say, look, do you guys have any Roger Clemens questions? Could we get him out now so I could enjoy the day? That's Mike on the first tee. I'm like, can we just talk about this and move on? First off, I mean, not to sound sort of flippant about it, but I'm glad I'm still alive. You know, I tell people all the time, I go, first off, it could have killed me. So I was happy I got my head down and I was able to get the ball off the helmet. But, it's still one of those situations that was unfortunate all around. I mean, it just was, to me, a stain in obviously my career, and I'm sure for him, he probably would want to take it back. I can't speak for him. I'm sure he's never really talked about it, so it's tough for me to really comment on how he feels about it. But ultimately, again, I'm just glad that, you know, basically – in the World Series, that the game that he did throw the bat, actually in the World Series, that I was able to compose myself, and I hit a home run off Jeff Nelson in that game. And to this day, you talk about that three. I mean, that was one of the only home runs that I said, "Wow!" That, because he was so tough on right-handed hitters, and if I would have got thrown out of the game or done something stupid, I would have never had that opportunity. So that's a small lesson too. And so you have to again try to take a positive out of it. It was a frustrating year. I think that team, you know, we wish we would have had we blew some opportunities in the World Series and probably missed a chance to be the world champions. But you got to take your hats off to the Yankees. I mean, they had great teams and we had epic battles and great games that fans today still remember.
And I'll also never forget Another redemption story there when Estes missed Clemens and Estes took Clemens deep, and you also took Clemens deep. And then Allshea Stadium, I was at the game. They were serenading Rodgers. He walked off the mound with the Rodger chants, which was epic.
Yeah, that was one of the more bizarre but also very compelling moments in that history. I always tell people all the time that game was very uncomfortable as a player because it's hard enough to go out there and basically hit a baseball against a great pitcher, but it's difficult to hit when it had that gladiator type of mentality. And, of course, there was a lot of things in the press. You remember Joe Torre wasn't going to start him at Shea Stadium, and then finally he started him at Shea, and then he went through sources and said, all right, just beat me and get it over with. And it just, you know, to be honestly, at that point, I was like, this, you know, the moment had passed. I was like, let's just move on. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I look back and just say, hey, it is what it is. And you know, I choose to remember some of the better moments against them, not almost getting killed. So, I mean, I had a few good swings against them, which, you know, I always try to remember first.
Well, you say when you go golfing, right away you say, get the Clemens questions out of the way. Does anyone bring up Guillermo Motto when you get to, like, hole 9 or 10 on the golf course?
Oh, man, you had to go there, huh?
Man, I remember that in spring training.
That was, that was one of the few times where, you know, I became unglued, really. And, there was a story there, too. He had beamed me the year before. It was like 3-0 or something. He put it right in my back, and I kind of looked at him. It was at the Dodger Town in Holman. And he gave me this expression, and I was like, you know, I thought he was going to go, hey, no, you know, I'm having a bad day. I can't find the play, whatever. But he gave me a weird sort of look, and just I remembered it. And so when I just started fuming. And then I when he was coming across, because there's no outside, the locker rooms are all the way down from Holman Stadium. So he came across. So I went up to him and I was like, hey, you got a problem with me? And next thing I know, I had my hands around his neck. And then the next year, I never forget it. I was like, he's going to drill me here and then I'm going to go out and get him. And he did and I did. And, you know, that's a pretty good brawl, too. If you could find that one on tape. I saw one tape of it. I think they kind of pushed those underground, but it's pretty interesting. If everyone's bored, and I'm sure they are, it's kind of an interesting brawl to go look back. So it's one of the few moments I think I was like completely out of my mind.
Mike, well, I can't thank you enough. This was a thrill. I really do appreciate you giving us two segments. I could do another hour, but the music's going to cut us off in 20 seconds. So best all of luck to you and your family. Thank you so much. This was awesome.
All right. Stay safe. God bless, man. Take care.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.